sign up.
This is the OTP Four Downs, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Healthcare coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans is like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Back from Seattle, Washington, and the great Northwest, with Rhett Bryant and Amy Wells. Welcome to Four Downs.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. I am Mike Keith, and so let's jump right in. First down, Amy Wells. We'll let you go first. Your play that turned the Titans 33-30 overtime victory over Seattle.
It has to be that Derrick Henry 60-yard touchdown run that brought the Titans within seven. It was a 49-second drive, and it totally breathed life back into the Titans' offense. It kept this team in the game.
Rhett?
For me, it was actually two plays before that. So the Titans had a busted coverage on defense. Russell Wilson throws a deep left to Freddie Swain, 68 yards, touchdown. But Jason Myers, PAT, no good. That was a sign to me that if things go right, you could get back into this thing, especially point differential-wise. And then it leads to your play, Amy, with the 60-yard run by Derrick, and all of a sudden you got a ball game.
Well, that's a great point, because that means the Titans didn't need a two-point conversion.
Bingo.
At the end. They could just kick the extra point. I'm going in overtime with Ola Adeniyi and the sack. He comes in on 3rd and 10. We can debate all day whether or not it was a safety. It really doesn't matter, because the Titans go on to win the ball game. But by sacking Russell Wilson at the 1, it meant Dixon, the Seattle punter, had to stand 9 3/4 yards deep in the end zone. He could get nothing on the kick. Chester Rogers returns it to the 39. And then the Titans have to make no effort at all to run anything outlandish to get in field goal range for the game-winning 36-yarder. If, let's just say that's an incomplete pass on 3rd down, and you're not punting from the very back of your end zone, then you've got a chance to hit a 50-yard kick, and then the Titans actually have to run their full complement of offense, which means there could be a sack or an interception or whatever. Instead, because of a Adeniyi sack, all they had to do is turn and hand it to Derrick Henry. He ends up picking up 21 total yards, and it's a 36-yard field goal, which is a big deal, because with the wind at that end of the field, it's helpful that it wasn't further out. The 44-yarder ends up drifting. He said it. Randy Bullock made it clear. The 44-yarder, he thought he hit it well, but it drifted and goes outside the upright on the right side. The 36-yarder, he's able to control and hit it basically right down the middle. So to me, it's Ola Adeniyi, whose name I just like to say too.
It is nice.
You know what's interesting about Ola Adeniyi is this is a guy who is still just 23 years old. He's a very young player, graduated high school when he was 16. They like him for this situational type of rush. We introduced him on Titans radio when he came in. I made the point. I said, here comes Ola Adeniyi, and he comes through with the sack. He's got some explosion. He has that James Harrison body. Of course, he played for the Steelers, but he's barely 6 feet tall. He's about 250 pounds, and he's got explosion, Rhett.
He has a motor. We saw it yesterday, and his two plays, the stat sheet doesn't lie. And, yeah, I really, really like him as an addition. I didn't like him as much as Denico Autry, who made a big difference in that ball game yesterday as well. But Ola Adeniyi, I think, has a future with the Titans beyond 2021 for sure.
Yeah, Denico Autry with a sack and a half in the ball game. Good
right.
point on that. Second down, Rhett Bryant, your stat that tells the story.
It's 3rd down for the defense. They held the Seahawks 4 of 12, 33% on 3rd down. That's the best 3rd down in a game I can remember in a while. I haven't looked to see how far back that goes, but we know they gave up, 51, 52% as a whole last year. They gave up 54% in week 1 against the Cardinals at Nissan Stadium and did much better in this week. I like that is there, because that's an earmark to see where you could possibly get a win. And certainly when you look at all of it stacked, I'd be like, okay, yep, there's a win.
I like that Rhett's was 3rd downs, because mine was 1st downs. The Tennessee Titans in the first half had 9 total 1st downs, just 9, and 0 rushing 1st downs. Not a single one. They had 7 passing first downs and then 2 as a result of Seahawks penalties. But in the second half, when things started to get spicy and interesting, the Tennessee Titans had 22 first downs. 10 of those were rushing first downs. 9 were passing. 3 were as a result of Seahawks penalties. And as we all know, having first downs means sustained drives, and sustained drives means more chances to score points.
Well, you got it. And so you lead directly into mine, which is time of possession. Which is crazy.
Yes.
The Seahawks, who love to control the football, that's the thing that they do. Time of possession, they lost to the Titans by 19 minutes and 51 seconds, 42-33 to 22-42. That's nuts. The Titans had 83 plays to the Seahawks, 52. 83 plays. I mean, that's fantastic. That helps your offense. That means you're getting Derrick Henry involved. The Titans had 40 rushes. They also had 40 passes. There's your balance. But they had chances, and they kept their defense fresh. When you look at the Seahawks in the second half and overtime, if you take out the busted coverage on the pass to Freddie Swain, which was 68 yards, Freddie Swain is able to score on that play. It's obviously bad. We know it. Let's write it off. Less than 100 yards allowed by the defense, in large part because they didn't have to be out there that much. So time of possession, oftentimes a stat that can be misleading. In this case, when you win it by nearly 20 minutes, huge, undoubtedly. Third down, your area that the Titans have to get fixed. Amy Wells, you go first.
The offensive line needs to get healthy, and I know that's a hard thing to fix, but they're a bunch of Civil War soldiers right now. Everybody's bandaged and held together with scotch tape and a prayer. Part of it's the position, but this is a long season. We've got to get some healthy guys up there so they can start gelling together and really becoming a consistent offensive line unit.
Rhett?
For me, it's the explosive plays that you give up on defense. They gave up quite a few. In fact, 5 of the Seahawks' 10 longest plays were X plays. But you have a 51-yarder to Tyler Lockett, a 63-yarder that's a touchdown, and then the 68-yarder to Freddie Swain in this thing. You take away some of those X plays, and that 397 yards of total offense suddenly becomes 2 and change, because it's about 180 yards right there with those 3 longest plays that they gave up. Got to get that contained in an effort to keep things tighter. As Coach Mack always talks about, separation of the score. That tells the story right there.
For me, it's the drops on offense. The Titans are 10-0 in the career of Ryan Tannehill with Tennessee since 2019, when he completes more than 70% of his passes. Part of that has to do with the fact that their passing game is about control, throwing in the middle of the field. It helps them to run clock. It also sets up the running game. Plus, it's a play where you gain yardage. When you drop the ball, you obviously don't gain anything. It's a lost play. The Titans have had far too many drops in the first 2 games, which has cost Tannehill the ability to kind of up that completion percentage and stay ahead of the chains, not allowing the defense to come after you. I just think the bottom line is, if this team catches the football, which it did really well last year and even in 2019, if they catch it better, they're going to be really hard to stop offensively. So let's go with that. All right, 4th down. One thing you noticed and want to share with the OT people, Rhett Bryan.
Yeah, mine is just, it's simple, but it's obvious. And you could tell as the Titans were climbing back into the ball game at Lumen Field, how quiet it got in the 4th quarter. Now, obviously, when it got towards the overtime period and all that, the crowd was into it in you know, places, but not constantly standing up, yelling in your seats. That always got me in all the times we've been on these road trips in a hostile environment. It got really quiet. And then, as Randy Bullock kicks the 36-yard field goal in overtime, I didn't need to look at the goalpost as to, you know, wait for the officials to signal. The crowd told me it was good.
That place does get loud, and when it gets quiet, it gets creepy quiet.
All right, before you answer this, I want to ask you a question, Amy Wells. You're on the sidelines for Titans Radio. It is supposedly, Lumen Field, the loudest stadium in the NFL. Does it buy the hype?
It totally lived up to the hype. The thing that I can compare it to is that on every single play, especially like a third down, every time the crowd is supposed to get loud, it is loud like it's the most important moment of the most important playoff game of all time. That is the consistent level of noise and energy that happens in that stadium throughout every single play. So, yes, absolutely, it stood up to the hype. It was kind of unbelievable. So fun. What a neat place to play. Even more fun to make them quiet at the end.
All right, Amy, one thing you noticed and want to share with the OT people.
I noticed how tough some of these guys who play for the Tennessee Titans actually are. Denico Autry is a monster. Jeffrey Simmons at one point had a guard and a center in his hands, and he pushed them into Russell Wilson. Like, he just did that of his own power because he's a monster. I mean, Ben Jones is a monster. Roger Saffold is a monster. These are guys that want to be on the field, and they want to do everything that they can to power through and make plays and contribute to their team. And I just think that that is the coolest thing, that this Titans team is filled with those kind of people who will do whatever it takes to be the toughest, strongest dude out on the field.
One thing that I noticed was it was back to Baltimore last year in November. And that was a game that the Titans had to come back late. It looked like Baltimore was going to get it. They held up, made them kick a field goal, forcing overtime. And then the Titans go win the game by pounding them into submission. At the end of the ball game, what we used to call the 15th round of the fight, when heavyweight fights were 15 rounds before Amy Wells was born, the Titans were the better team. And that was just like that day in Baltimore last year, where they showed Mike Vrabel on the sidelines, and he was mic'd in that 2020 game, and he's going, come on, finish him. They're tired, finish him. Seattle was tired. Seattle had been the better team for three quarters, but in the fourth quarter and overtime, the Titans end up scoring the last 17 points. Russell Wilson has two chances to win the game, two chances, at the end of regulation and in overtime. He's one of the greatest comeback quarterbacks of all time. He's one of the greatest overtime, late-in-the-game quarterbacks of all time. The stats show it. He has two chances to win the game, and the Titans get him off the field both times, putting themselves in a position to win this contest. That was the win last year that pushed the Titans to go forward and end up winning the division. It came right after the embarrassing Thursday night loss to Indianapolis. Remember that?
Yes.
The Titans go get that Baltimore game that nobody thinks they're going to get, and then they got Indianapolis the next week on their way to winning the division. Can this be that win after an Arizona game that everybody wants to forget? The Titans put themselves in a position with Indianapolis next on the schedule that they've got a chance to hit a big lick right here and put themselves in a good position, albeit early in the season, but this is an important game.
It's huge because when you think about, and we saw what happened to Carson Wentz, and it's going to be interesting to see their injury report. I'm very interested to see what the Titans' injury report looks like after left side of the line. I mean, you start counting them off.
It's going to be two pages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it may be that way for Indy as well, because reports are that Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles.
Yeah, he has both ankles are sprained.
So, you know, is there any way he goes, or is it the Jacob Eason show? And so, you know, we're going to look at and we've seen a long history of backup quarterbacks that we hadn't seen before, that kind of stuff. And that's what gets you on edge a little bit going into this one. But you have a chance. You're right, Mike, and you've said it since the schedule came out. You've got them twice before Halloween is over. If you get two from them right there, you can set yourself up for November and December and beyond.
Regardless of what Indy's got going on, bless their hearts, I'm more excited about the fact that we saw the Tennessee Titans doing Tennessee Titans things.
Right.
This feels like, oh, okay, here we are. This is what we do. And it's such a momentum builder, but also a foundation builder. It shows that this stuff still works. This team still knows what they're doing, and this team can still do the things that they do best, which is be consistent and grind it out and wear other teams down and never quit and make something happen. Those are the things that we didn't see in week one. We saw them in week two, and hopefully that's the switch that needs to be flicked to continue through the season.
Rhett hit it on the nose, though. Indianapolis is 0-2, and they're going to come in with everything they have, no matter who the quarterback is. They're very tough in the front seven on defense. They would like to make it a slugfest. They have a running game. They're having trouble protecting the quarterback, so I have a feeling they're going to try to line it up and run it and run it and throw short passes to Nyheim Hines and make it the Nashville game of last November where they worked the Titans over and kept it very simple. That's going to be the type of game that they try to make it. I think the Titans are going to have to be prepared to play a very physical game because I have a hunch that that's how Indianapolis thinks they can come in here and get a win.
And I'll tell you this. I just need to see more of this Titans run defense because that is also a stat that jumps off the page. They held the Seahawks as a team to 18 carries, 77 yards. Yes, Chris Carson had those two scores, but they held the team to 77 yards rushing. That's what you need.
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Turn to the folks who've been in the game since 1947. Farm Bureau Health Plans offers the great health care coverage you need with a price tag you can afford. Amy Wells, good to be back. And now the Titans actually get on a more normal schedule for a while, which I think is kind of helpful.
Yeah, we're a solid Sunday at noon team, and I like that. I like the consistency. I like that this team isn't going to have the wacky trips and the faraway travel schedule and the weird times for a while. You can get into a groove. You can get into a routine. I like it, but Mike Vrabel likes it even more.
And it really doesn't happen in terms of the goofiness from the variation. We call it goofiness because the Titans have been the noon central team forever and ever.
Yes.
But it doesn't happen again until Los Angeles with Sunday Night Football. And that's going to be an even more normal trip because it's a Sunday night game. That sort of evens things out, and that's going to make Monday more of a travel day, more so than last night where the team was flying back through the evening and got home in the very early morning hours of this Monday. So, you know, good stuff through the end of October, but a lot of work to do, Rhett Bryan.
And to your point, Amy, just like those players, the organization, the coaches, they're creatures of habit just like we are. We have a routine every day for the most part. And if you have the same kind of routine to get ready every game week and it's, you know, an 11 o'clock central start for us on Titans Radio, that doesn't throw us off. We're used to that. These guys are too. Their schedule's set up for that, and you know we are afforded being able to look down the schedule at this thing, unlike them who have to look week to week. But you got Indianapolis, then you have two road trips with going to New York to play the Jets, and then at Jacksonville to try to get another AFC South win, and then you have Buffalo on Monday night and Kansas City 6 days later at Nissan Stadium. You've got to have some consistency here and hopefully stacking wins getting to those important games.
But what you're saying is important there because the trip to New Jersey is not bad. The trip to Jacksonville is not bad. The Monday night game is home. The following Sunday is home. And then you travel to Indianapolis, which is your easiest trip of the year. So none of that is difficult or taxing on the body or on the schedule. Because even with the Monday night game, the fact that it's followed by another home game is a huge lift to this ball club overall. Still, a lot of work to do for the Titans, and I think a lot of work to do at home. You know, if this team is going to be a contender for a high seed in the AFC, they've got to play better football at home than what they did a year ago and certainly what they did against Arizona. They've got to take advantage of that home crowd. For Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan, I'm Mike Keith, thanking you for joining us for the OTP Four Downs.
Welcome to the big show, where the legends go. Everybody knows it's our house. Fighting for Tennessee, making history. Greatness is meant to be ours now. Hey, we got Titan blood running through our veins.